Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. My name is Rita Halk-Lane, and I'm going to be with you for the next hour. And I hope you're having a good, had a good week so far, and that the Lord will bless our time together here today. For those of you who have made donations to support us, I really, really thank you for that, because without your support, whether it's a donation of prayer or a donation of funds or time or whatever, we thank you very much, because there's enough of the secular worldly things out there on the radio and on TV and Facebook, and it's nice to do something that's a little more Christ-centered. And so we thank you very, very much, because without you, we wouldn't be here. Anyway, today is a good day. I'm grateful to be here, but I wanted to share with you that Pope Francis has declared this year, 2024, as a year dedicated to prayer in preparation for the Jubilee year next year, 2025. He wants us to spend as much time as possible in prayer, and there will be guides being published by the Vatican that will help us rediscover our prayer lives in a more in-depth way. He says here, they will be a good read, which will stimulate your prayers with simplicity and in accordance with Christ's heart. He's calling for a daily renewal of the joy and commitment of being men and women of prayer. And he says, prayer that comes from the heart, not like parrots, no, from the heart. May the words that are spoken come from our hearts. So remember, I was here in December, and I was talking to you about the word heart in Scripture is the most used word after the names of God. And I was talking to you about how he wants our hearts, not just our minds. He really wants us to, you know, God is love, and he wants to give love, and he hopes to receive love. And that happens in our hearts. And so I'm hoping that perhaps something that I said or recommended in December resonated with you, and that you were able to open your heart through the Advent season and throughout the Christmas season to hear his voice and to recognize how often at Mass or in church, and obviously in Scripture, you hear the word heart. You know, he wants our hearts. We, Mother Teresa used to say, we were created to love and be loved. So be loved by God and others, and to love others and God. So we were created for it. And so I encourage you to do that, to work on that. You know, with the grace of God, we can do those things. As far as the year of prayer goes, I want to speak to you a little bit about prayer, what it's meant to me in throughout my life, and also what I have found out about prayer, you know, on a very basic level. We don't have time to go into it really, really deeply, but one thing I know without a doubt is that prayer is extremely powerful. If you read scripture, I've been leading a women's Bible study for 23 years, and before that, I've been crazy about the Bible scriptures my whole life. As a little girl, I would take my Bible and I would go out by the pond. There was a pond on the property, and I would sit there and I'd read and I'd ponder, and it just fed me in so many wonderful ways. And I grew up on it, and when I became Catholic, since I knew so much about Scripture, I was asked to lead a women's Bible study, and you know, I prayed about it. And as it turned out, I did. But I was very grateful for John Yurkevich at St. Pius, who was one of my catechists in RCIA, because he was really cute. God bless him. He's passed now. But he told me, he said, "You love scripture so much, so I'm going to give you some advice. You kind of know it from a Protestant perspective, all right? But there's more to it than that. So I want you to study the covenants." And I said, "The covenants?" And I mean, I'd heard the word before, but I didn't really know what he was getting. And he says, "I can trust you to look into it because of the kind of person you are." And sure enough, I did. And it has really, really enhanced my understanding of scripture, and I'm going to, I'm hoping to share that with you in a couple of weeks. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, but back to prayer. Prayer is extremely powerful, and as you get to know it over time, if you've experienced it in a community situation, such as, you know, the Bible study, we pray for each other and intentions that are given to us from other people, and the joy of hearing about those prayers being answered one way or the other, and the strength that comes from being in a community like that and praying for each other and supporting each other is amazing. But we found out in our own experience that when we pray about something, Scripture promises that whatever we're praying for will be better as a result of the prayers, and not as bad as a result of the prayers. So it's a win-win situation. Even if somebody is not cured, or, you know, the finances aren't miraculously put back together or whatever, or falling into their hands or whatever, the results of that prayer will make things better. Absolutely. It's been promised to us by God, and I've seen it, and the Bible study has seen it, and I'm sure most of you have seen it one way or another. God himself has told us to pray a lot. If it didn't do anything, it'd be a waste of time, and God is not a time waster. You know, he knows that life is precious and time is precious. And so when he says to pray always, you know, he's telling us something there, something very important. And, you know, it's kind of funny, though. We can find all kinds of reasons not to pray. There's always an excuse. I myself used to do this a lot years ago. With the grace of God, I don't do it as much anymore, but because he kept showing me that he was calling more and more people to prayer, deeper prayer. The world needs a lot of prayer, and he is calling all of us to pray more often. And not just, I mean, obviously the rosary is a powerful, powerful prayer. And Our Lady has told us repeatedly, pray the rosary. Pray the rosary for all your intentions, but especially for world peace and the very serious things in life. You know, for people to turn to Jesus Christ and find their salvation. Various other things that are extremely important, but she has told us to do that many, many times. But also, the Lord wants us, you see it in Scripture, cry out to Him when we are being overwhelmed, or when we see something that is distressing, or when we're experiencing family problems, or cry out to Him, and He will hear our prayers. He will answer our prayers. I told you before that one of the ways that prayer works, I mean, there's a multitude of ways, but one of the ways that prayers work is by, because we have free will, God will not force Himself on us. And He delights when we pray, because we are, I hate to say it because it sounds kind of silly, but we are allowing Him into our lives and into the situations, because He doesn't want to overstep our freedom. And so He's always there, but the extraordinary grace, the extra things that He wants to give, come through the requests of prayer. And so, you know, you see it a lot all through Scripture, all through Scripture. And we find it in our own lives. So give Him permission to work in those things and to be in those things by praying. All right? So anyway, I used to make excuses and not pray very much, other than my morning prayers and night prayers. I didn't pray, you know, I'd shoot little, you know, prayers up during the day and that sort of thing, if something happened and I needed some help. But I'm talking about making a step to, like, a quiet time with God, where, like, maybe I love to do it, like, around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where you sit down and you pray some prayers, and you open your heart, and then you just kind of be quiet, and you listen. Because believe you me, He will speak to you. So don't just talk all the time during your prayer time. Even if it's only 5 minutes that you can do it, you know, say, Lord, I love you. I want to know you better. I've heard prayer is good for me and good for the thing, our relationship. So here I am, Lord. Here I am. And then just be quiet. I want to share with you a few things that have happened during some of my prayer experiences, and I'm not sharing with you so that you'll think there's something special about me, because there, in my opinion, there isn't. I'm just like you. I've just had the experience of enjoying prayer maybe more than some of you. I don't know. Maybe you have all types of experiences yourself, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. I know that it is not uncommon for people to have really profound experiences here and there in their prayer lives. And I want to share one thing with you. My mother, I got a phone call one afternoon, late afternoon. My mother was having emergency open heart surgery down in Florida, and I'm up in Pennsylvania, and there was absolutely no time for me to get down there by the time of the surgery, and so, you know, I was going to go the next day, but I was so distraught because my mother and I are very close, and so it just so happened our parish was having 40 hours with Eucharistic adoration and prayer time. You know, I was a fairly new Catholic, and although I believed completely in Jesus being truly present in the Holy Eucharist, the idea of sitting in front of an exposed Eucharistic bread and, you know, praying before it and everything felt very foreign to me. And so I just trusted, and I got in my car, and I ran over to the church, and it was nighttime, and the lights were on and there was a Holy Eucharist up there on the altar, and I just got in a pew and I poured out my heart to Jesus and about my mother and prayed for her and prayed for her. And you know, just, you know how it is when you're distressed like that. You can't imagine life without that person, and you want them to recover, and you can't be with them. It's very distressing. So I did, and I spent some time there, and I kneeled, and I closed my eyes, and I poured out my heart, and I just got quiet, and I just sat there for a while. And to be honest with you, I was amazed, because within a very short period of time, I got the most deepest, beautiful peace. It's indescribable, the peace that came over me. And I was so at peace, I almost fell asleep. It's kind of embarrassing, but it's true. But it showed me that Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is very real. And I felt his presence, I felt his comfort, and thank God my mother was okay after that. So I appreciated that. But when you get quiet and you pray, things can happen. The other thing that was really profound was, I told you before that I have worked with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester for 23 years. And at one point, especially during their summer camps, and at one point, Donna, my friend Donna, and my other friend Beth and I, we started a girls' club with some of the girls that were aged 8 to 12 that had come to the camp. They were special girls. They were, you know, they grabbed our hearts, and we just couldn't walk away at the end of the summer, so we did that. And we did that for quite a few years with them. Well, when they got to be in their mid-teens, you know how teenagers can be, there was one year that we called it our year from heck, because we could do nothing right for these girls. They complained every time they walked in the door. They accused us of favoritism, and it was just one thing after another after another. It was so distressing, because we'd already been with them like 5-6 years and never had any issues like that, and it was a whole year of absolute, you know, feeling like a failure and everything, and it was very upsetting. So Father Chris Walsh, who worked with Mother Teresa when she would come to the United States to this area, he was putting an Advent retreat at Malvern. And so the three of us decided that we were going to go to his retreat, and I'm so grateful we did, because it was marvelous. He taught us wonderful things with humor, and of course he referred to Mother once in a while, and it was just a lovely time. And I took a walk down, I don't know if you've ever been to Malvern, but I took a walk down the hill to the grotto. They have a replica of the grotto at Lourdes down there, and it, beautiful running stream there. It's one of the most beautiful places to pray I've ever been. And I went down there and I started pouring out my heart on my knees to the Lord about, you know, what can we do with these girls? We just don't know what to do. We just, it's such a mess right now, and you know, and everything. And I, you know, was down there for at least 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden, I heard this little voice say, "If you believe more in the things that can go wrong in Chester, the things that can hurt these girls in Chester, the things that they will have to deal with in Chester, if you believe more in that than you believe in my love for them and what I'm going to do with them, then what are you doing there?" I was dumbfounded. It convicted me so much, because I realized that I had taken my eyes off of Jesus and put them on the storm. The area that these girls lived in was atrocious, and it was really, they were surrounded by a lot of really horrible things and the things that they experienced and things that we went through. So it became bigger than Jesus to us somehow. And I realized that he was telling me two things. Put your eyes back on me, and don't worry about these girls because I'm taking care of them. I love them more than you do. So I ran up the hill, found my two friends. I said, you're not going to believe what just happened to me. And I thanked him. I told them exactly what, and we were all three so renewed by that. And that was a retreat day where we took some time away and had some quiet time to listen. And God spoke to us. And we went back to that club, and it was a totally different situation. We were refreshed and renewed and able to communicate with these girls in a way that calmed them down and helped them to get back happy again, being together and all these things. And it was a real, true miracle. It really was. And the nice thing about what he said to me is that it applies to everything in life. What do we have faith in? Do we have more faith in the political machine? In the horrors of war? In our children rejecting Jesus? In everything. Do we have more faith in those things than in our God Almighty, who has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens and every help, every way of being his children? If we say yes to him, why do we have more faith in those things than him? He's the grand creator of the universe who cares about every child he has created. And so, you know, whenever anything gets a little testy for me, I remember what he said, you know, what do you have more faith in, me and my love for this situation or the evil that's around? And so I hope that might give you some encouragement. Another thing that happened was my husband told me one time, you know, he was having some business issues, and he really didn't know what to do, and it was perplexing for him. And so we went to Mass one Sunday, and after Mass, he said, guess what? In the middle of Mass, in that quiet time, I heard a solution to this problem. And he says, I know what to do now. See? Another experience of quiet time and listening. And listening. These things happen all the time. If you're willing to listen, it will happen to you. Okay. And especially, he especially loves it when you take time away from your schedule to spend time with him. Because he wants to give you a lot. I want to share a few promises about prayer from the Bible. In James, in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. A righteous person is someone who has been to confession and truly meant it, or has at least apologized to the Lord and whomever they may have hurt. A righteous person is considered in the Bible a person who's not guilty anymore. All right. So the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. In Isaiah 65, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Well, why do we even need to pray then if he knows everything? because it shows him that we want to be with him, that we want to share life with him, and that he is God and we're not. And we want to be in communion with him. And he hears that. And then Psalms 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Not just the person who goes to church, not just the person who prays all the time. It can be anyone and everyone. He's near to everyone who calls on him. Prayer is a tremendous gift and a privilege. It is priceless. It's mind-boggling that the God of the universe, who has created everything, who maintains everything, who loves all of us, would want to even hear from us, let alone spend time with us. It's really a mind-boggling in a way. But I don't know why, but I keep thinking about how I told you this last year, that if you don't believe that God can be personal to each person, well, then how does your GPS do it? It's just a man-made thing. I'm here in the studio with people, and if each one of us turned on our cell phone and asked the GPS to tell us where to go and how to get there, each one of us would know at the same time where to go and how to get there. Well, that's a man-made machine, satellite, that is tuned in to all of us. Why couldn't God do the same thing? All right, so remember that, all right? And then, Mother Teresa and many other people have said, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. Okay. Kathleen McCarthy, most of you know who she is, and if not, anyway, she has a healing ministry, and she shares wonderful words that Jesus gives to her for us. They're called locutions. And when does she receive them? When she's in silence before the Holy Eucharist. That's when she hears him talk. That's when he tells her things to tell us. All right? So she talks about, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. She talks about that. Well, Mother Teresa used to say that all the time as well. And one of the things I'll share with you before we have a break, Mother Teresa used to have a business card, and she would give it out to people all the time. And in that card, it said, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is love. So the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is love. And it's very true. Okay? And when we come back, I'll continue talking to you a little bit about prayer and share a few other things. And I look forward to being back with you. Don't go anywhere. Take care, and be back in a minute.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, and again, my name is Rita Hauk-Lane, and we've been talking about prayer. Pope Francis has designated this year as a year of prayer in preparation for 2025's Jubilee year. So we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks when I come back. But right now, one of the things we do in this hour is we pray for people who have requested prayer through the lines here at the station. And I want to pray for a few people before we go on. And if you're one of the prayer warriors out there, I'm asking you to, maybe jot down the names as we go along and continue to pray for these people after the show is over, and support them with your prayers, okay? So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I have here a request. It says, put Juniper on the prayer line for RSV. Our dear Lord, the great physician, so many people are sick right now with RSV, and Juniper really needs prayer. She needs your healing touch, or maybe it's a man, I'm sorry if it is, but anyway, Lord, please put your healing hand upon Juniper and ease the trouble that comes from this nasty virus, and may no one be infected with it in the family other than this person, and let them get well quickly, Lord. Give them good doctors and right treatment to recover quickly, and protect people from this virus that's running rampant now, Lord. It's just a lot to be dealing with in this time of year, and I just pray for absolute healing for them. And then I have a request here for Brenda. She has back issues and may need procedures. So we pray for Brenda and all who have back issues. My own husband has had 3 surgeries, so I know what that's like, and it's not much fun, and I pray for her I pray that the hand of the Lord will come upon that spine and will put everything back in place where it's supposed to be, and relieve the nerves and strengthen the back to where it needs to be, in order that she won't have to have procedures. And I pray that for everyone who has back issues right now. And I pray, and I include with that my friend Dee and my friend Maria. And I just pray with all my heart, Lord, that you will heal their backs. And if that is not to be, that they will have excellent care with doctors and have excellent results from being treated by the doctor and or these procedures. Put your hand in there, Lord, and take care of them. And then we have David. He has heart and intestinal problems. I cannot imagine. So, Lord, we bring David and all people that have heart and intestinal issues. Such a great amount of challenges in one person, Lord. And I just pray for him. I pray that you'll heal his heart and calm his intestines and heal that as well. And get him on the path of wellness quickly. It's very difficult to have both of those things. It's one bad enough to have one of them, but to have both of them, Lord, is very overwhelming. So we pray against that sickness and pray for a healing for David. And then we have Elizabeth. She's an elderly woman who has many health issues. I've been hearing about a few people lately like that, and I pray for them as well. Lord, you know what it's like to be up there in years and have all of these health challenges, and sometimes the doctor doesn't know how to help, and sometimes you don't know what's the best thing to do, and it's very difficult. So I pray for good decisions and good judgment, and for good doctors and treatments that will help her to feel better quickly, and give her hope too, Lord, that you're still taking care of her, because you are, and I know that, and we thank you for that. And then we have Colleen. She's been hospitalized with pneumonia. Pneumonia, another thing that's going around, and a lot of people are having issues with it, and I pray for Colleen. I pray that it is not an aggressive kind of pneumonia. I pray that it will be light and that it will be healed, and she'll be back on her feet with really healthy lungs again very soon. I pray for your hand to be upon the doctors to treat that, and for them not to miss anything and to be really truly healers in your name. And then I pray for Genevieve. Little Genevieve, she's a one-year-old recovering from some type of surgery. Oh, Lord. You know, we don't like to hear about one-year-olds having to have surgery. And so we bring little Genevieve and put her in your arms and ask you to please hold her and heal her and help her and give her parents peace of mind. But we really do pray that she will completely recover from that surgery and be better than before. And we entrust all of these prayers and all of these intentions to you, Lord, through Mary, our mother, who loves us so much and can pray very hard for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, all right, may God bless and heal them all, and all of you who are listening out there or watching on Facebook. Okay, back to prayer. Prayer is healing. Prayer is comfort. Prayer is peace. Prayer is a beautiful, wonderful, powerful thing. And I wanted to read a few quotes to you from Mother Teresa. I believe in listening. I mean, obviously, if you don't know what the Bible says about prayer or the church says about prayer, there's four sections of the Catechism. All right. The Catechism is basically a book that explains what we believe and why as Catholic Christians. And one full section of the catechism is on prayer. The whole section is on prayer. So if you don't understand prayer, and you have questions about prayer, even if you're not Catholic, buy the catechism and read the section on prayer, because you will learn a lot from that. And the more you know, the more effective your prayer life will be. But anyway, we need to also listen to people that we know who have a very deep prayer life, or a lot of experience with prayer. My mom was one of those people. She was Baptist, but boy, oh boy, what a prayer she was. She could pray for hours, and she would. She interceded for people all the time, and many, many, many times her prayers were miraculously answered. So I grew up with an understanding of prayer. Then we need to also pay attention to the saints, saints who've gone before us, people who have gone before us, who had had extraordinary lives. And how did they have extraordinary lives? Well, I can tell you right now, 100% of them had a prayer life. And Mother Teresa was one of them. And so I have some quotes of her that I want to share with you, because we need to listen to them. They can teach us how to have a good prayer life, and also how to work our way towards, not work our way, but grow our way with the help of God towards being holier people. To be holy is just basically what God designed us to be. To be your truest self is when you're holy. So anyway, here's some quotes from her. We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is a friend of silence. The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. So what she's saying here is that, if we spend time with the Lord, he promises that he will assist us with everything that we do in life. It might be with a little voice. In Scripture it says that God was in a still, small voice. Well, if you're not listening, you're not going to hear it. Okay? Sometimes it's a big bang, but most of the time it's a still, small voice. But we all need help. We all need help with things that are going on in our lives. We all have challenges. There isn't one person alive that doesn't have some kind of challenge that is very difficult in their lives right now. And to ask for God's help, you will get it. Guaranteed. Absolutely. It might not be in the way that you think it should be. It might not be in a very obvious way initially. But eventually, if you're watching and pondering and listening, you'll see it. So the more we can receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. And so here's another: love to pray. Feel often during the day the need for prayer and take trouble to pray. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Ask and seek, and your heart will grow big enough to receive him and keep him as your own. What a wonderful thought. And here's another. Jesus has chosen us to be souls of prayer. The value of everything we do corresponds exactly to the value of the prayers we make, and our actions are fruitful only if they are the true expression of earnest prayer. We must fix our gaze on Jesus, and working together with him, we will do much better. Okay, I wanted to read a quote to you from an article that I found called The Benefits of Prayer by a gentleman by the name of Hal Green. He writes articles on a regular basis. But there's a few little key points in this that I wanted to share with you. Prayer establishes your personal, private relationship with God. It is the greatest relationship you will have. It may begin here, but it will not end here. Amazingly, it is eternal. When you pray, the hidden God will be gazing on you from eternity, seeing where you are and where God wants you to be. God seeks what is best for you, not only for the moment, but also for eternity. Your task is to let God be God and to seek above all, to do God's will, even if you do not understand the whys. Trust that God does, and that there will be an answer. Okay? I like that a lot. And so please, there are many spiritual riches and daily life helps that await us in our prayer time. So, and in silence. Don't forget the silence. If you think you're too busy to make prayer a priority, to set aside some time, then you can't afford not to pray. The world needs so much. Your family, our families, our businesses, our own selves need prayer. And we can't afford not to pray. So please put that on your agenda and your schedule. And let's listen to Pope Francis, his advice to make this year a year of prayer. I know none of us will be sorry that we've done that. And anyway, the next thing I'd like to do is talk briefly about today's gospel. I'm not going to read it because of time constraints, but it's the story where Jesus comes back from being on mission, and all these people show up to see him and hear him and to be healed and to listen to his teachings. And some friends take a paralyzed friend up on the roof. I'm sure you've heard it many times. They break through the roof and let their friend down right at Jesus' feet. And so I just wanted to, I love this story because there's a bunch of things that happen. It's a very rich story if you really ponder it for a while. Jesus says he sees their actions and it reveals their faith. He sees their faith in their actions. They haven't even said a word to him. But because of their faith, the friend's faith, he heals, he forgives the paralyzed person's sins and heals, physically heals them. And one of the things I like about it, they had great faith in Jesus and they put it into action. You know, they found somebody that needed him and they took him to it. They did what they needed to do, even though it was difficult. A true, genuine friend will do that. It was difficult, and they persevered. They weren't going to take no for an answer. And that's a true friend. And then, again, it leads to something that Mother Teresa used to say. Love, if it's genuine, hurts sometimes. Because it requires us to give of ourselves and do things that we wouldn't necessarily have to do if we weren't true lovers. So to love is doing the difficult thing sometimes, forgiving sometimes, and going that extra mile sometimes. So be a genuine friend, like you're like in this story, because great things can happen as a result of that. One time I was in Sea Isle and the in New Jersey, and back before they built the new big church, there was a smaller church. It was a good size, but it you know, the crowd outgrew it. But one time I went to Mass, and the place was so full, there wasn't even standing room only. I was standing outside on the steps. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything, but I wasn't going anywhere. And all of a sudden it hit me. I bet you this is what it was like when people went to see Jesus. And they wanted Jesus, because I wanted Jesus, and I wanted to hear the words, I wanted to have communion, and I had to wait outside. I couldn't be close to him to get that done, but it reminded me of this story, and I could really relate to it, and it made me smile. So, now I want to share something with you that is a little funny in a way. There was an article in the newspaper, Our Dog Who Art in Heaven. That's the name of the article, Our Dog Who Art in Heaven, by Mike Kerrigan. And I want to share that with you before I go today. And it goes like this. My friend Paul had to put down Bear, his beloved 11-year-old black lab. Bear's lungs gave out, and Paul did the humane thing, although not without, in his words, crying hard and often. Every dog lover understands, for we know all too well, how our dogs love us. My mini Bernie Doodle, Sugary, meets me at the door when she hears me on the front porch steps. She jumps in anticipation, all four legs catching air until I enter the hallway. It's a love that doesn't diminish. This is my welcome every weeknight when I come home from work. I haven't split the atom, ended world hunger, or even brought her a new Chewy toy. Yet I'm honored like Pompey the Great in his third Roman triumph. This nightly greeting has two effects on me. First, it makes me want to be better, to be worthy of such love. This reflection in turn helps me to love God, whose perfect love never ceases to draw me out from my own imperfections, from the man I am to the man I should be. Second, it reminds me how silly it is to think I can love too many people or anything too much. If loving is willing the good of the other, then there is no upper limit to it. This insight helps me strive to love my neighbor and to be an instrument of peace. Sugary is my role model, as Bear was Paul's. I like to think that this life isn't all there was for Bear. Years ago, Archbishop Fulton Sheen first perked up my ears, so to speak, on the spirituality of dogs. In his autobiography, Treasure in Clay, Sheen wrote that during his holy hour of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, at times he felt like a dog at the Master's door, ready in case he called me. British writer C.S. Lewis went a step further in The Problem of Pain, in which he made a plausible case for hounds in heaven. Lewis thought sufficient selfhood might exist in dogs and other domesticated animals, that their immortality is subsumed within their master's heavenly destiny. For my money, though, G.K. Chesterton made the best case for dogs in heaven in his book Orthodoxy. Chesterton proposed that perhaps the one thing too great for God to have shown us when he walked the earth was his mirth. What is more mirthful than the thought of a surprise party on heavenly move-in day, where gathered guests include good old Fido? And who would keep such a joyful secret but someone with infinite patience? So chin up, Paul. I believe you will see Bear again. God surely has used for a creature that teaches us so much about love. I thought that was wonderful. By the way, my husband and I just got a new puppy on Saturday. We haven't named her yet, but she's a little 3-pound Papillon puppy. And she's our fifth Papillon, and we're already crazy about her. But she's 3 months old, so she puts everything in her mouth, has a determined attitude that she's going to do what she wants to do, even at such a young age. But we love her like mad, and we're very grateful to Holly, who we got her from. But I also wanted to share with you a little book that I got a long time ago, Will I See My Pet in Heaven? It's a very nice book. It's written for children. But within it, Friar Jack Wentz, he's a Franciscan. And there's a couple of things he says in here that are thought-provoking. And when God made a covenant to never again destroy human beings after the flood and other living creatures, The covenant is not simply between God and humans, but also with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, said God. God put a rainbow in the sky and told Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." And then Jesus died and rose from the dead. He appeared to his friends, and before he was assumed back up into heaven, ascended back into heaven. He told the disciples important instruction of go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Fascinating, huh? Not just to every human being, but every creature. Okay, and then in the book of Revelations, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, 'To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever.'" This is why you hear these stories. I love that idea, because I've always felt that, God created animals for a purpose, and I don't think we fully understand all the purposes of the animals in our lives and in nature. And, but he delighted in making them, and we delight in seeing them and sometimes having them. So I think it's a really wonderful thing. And it's also why St. Francis would go and preach to birds. He would preach to animals. And you know, if I tried to do that now, people would say it was crazy. But in reality, Scripture says, go and proclaim things to all the creatures of the earth. So it's not that crazy after all. My last thing I'm going to leave with you is, if I can find it, a Bible verse. It is for Jesus. It's loving words from Jesus. It's from the Gospel of John 14:21. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." John 14:21. Look it up, mark it, hold it in your heart. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." That's what happens with Jesus. If you give him a chance, he will show himself to you. He is very real and very in love with you. And when you get to know him, you will love him as well. So anyway, God bless your weekend. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and hopefully you've enjoyed this little bit of talk, and it's blessed you somehow. Being with you has blessed me tremendously. It means a lot to me to be able to be here, although I never in a million years imagined that I would be doing this. God has a great sense of humor. God bless your weekend. God bless you and take care of you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Goodbye.